Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
It's such a joy to come into your homes or wherever you are right now. And I want to talk to you about God's love for you personally. And I want you to sense through this program God's love. It's a personal love. It's an intimate love. And it's a love that's for you. It's not just for the whole world. It's for you. Paul wrote a prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. He said, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, before whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner person, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of God's love, and to know this love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." The word of the Lord. Heard a story about these two fish, and they were swimming in the ocean. And as they're swimming, one fish turned to the other and said, "Hey, where's the ocean?" And the other fish laughed at him, and he said, "The ocean, it's what you're swimming in." And a lot of people think, hey, where's God's love? I don't feel it. I don't sense it. It's what you're swimming in. For me, God's love is a matter of becoming aware of it, noticing it, paying attention to it. Because oftentimes we don't get this big manifestation. We don't get this big revelation of God's love. We don't get this big spiritual experience. They do come at times. In fact, just to let you know, when I was young man, I was 19, 20 years old, right in that area. I was touched by the Holy Spirit. There's all kinds of different terms for this. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Spirit, or having a release of the Holy Spirit. I go like that because Jesus said the Spirit comes out of your heart. Well, I had this experience of the Spirit, and it was love, pure love. God's love is alive and living in me. And I know that the Spirit lives in you too, and whether you feel it or not, I want you to trust that God's love is there. So when I experienced that experience of God's love, I just wanted to tell everybody about God's love. In fact, that's what the scriptures say. It says that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So when I talk about ways that God loves us, and there is a multitude of ways that I'll talk about, one of the primary ways is through direct revelation. A lot of times it's indirect through creation, through people, through music, through all kinds of different things. But I'm talking about direct revelation through the Holy Spirit. So I want you to sense that the Holy Spirit is with you and loves you greatly. And it was because of this experience of God's love, because of this experience of the Holy Spirit in me, I got this fire, this call, this anointing, if you will, to proclaim to all people the love that God has for us. So what I want you to understand, first of all, beside the Holy Spirit being in us, is that the world itself proclaims God's love to us. And it's a matter of being attentive to and aware of and noticing the multitude of ways that you are loved. And you can do this. You can become aware of it. You can become sensitized, if you will, to God's love. I remember I was studying in Italy one time. I was studying at the North American College in Rome. That's the Catholic college that we have over there near St. Peter's. And one of the courses that we took was a course in art appreciation. I had an aunt that was an artist, but I was never all that much into art appreciation or arts. And you go to Rome, and I mean, there are great works by all kinds of artists. And there are sculptures, Michelangelo and Bernini's columns, and all these different artists have done sculptures and paintings and all this beautiful work. And you know, I see these things. You go to the Vatican Museum, I see the artwork and I look at it and, you know, go to the next one and through the next one. And sometimes I yawn a little bit. You know, they look fine to me. But the art teacher gave us all these interesting aspects about the artwork. She would talk, she could look at a piece of art and she could tell us what we were seeing. For example, the type of influences the artist had, the period that the artwork came from, the symbols that was hidden in the artwork and what the artist was trying to say. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I just look at that portrait, I don't see any of that in there. But because she was a teacher of appreciating art, she was able to help us to see what was really in there. It's the same way in life. You know, oftentimes we just look at an ocean, we just look at a mountain, we look at the stars and, you know, we just kind of see it, but we don't appreciate what it really is. For example, some people see an ocean and they think, oh good, you know, I'm going to go fishing or good place to go surfing or catch some fish or go boating or, you know, it's fun to have an ocean there to go play in. I look at the ocean now and I see creativity. I see passion. I see power at work. And with all creation, I see the finger of God, if you will, creating. And the reason why God has created is to provide an environment for us. I love to see sunrises and sunsets. Sometimes I'll see rainbows and shooting stars. And I realize that, yes, it's nature's phenomenon, but it's God's love for me personally. You have to become a connoisseur of life, if you will, to have a palate that can taste God's love. And I want you to try to, like the art appreciation teacher was trying to teach us about these arts of work so that we could look at them and then really appreciate them and see what was in those arts of work. I want you to be able to see. Things aren't just what they seem. You have to look beyond in order to notice, to become aware of. In some ways, it's like waking up in the morning. It's having an awakening. You know, we get up in the morning, before you even get up, first of all, you become aware consciously that you're waking up. You may hear a bird chirping. If you have arthritis, you might start to feel the pain. And then, you know, you finally get out of bed and wash your face. Maybe some of you drink coffee or orange juice, put on Good Morning America, take a shower, whatever it is, to try to awaken. And finally, you know, you're pretty awake and you're going on with the day. It's the same way with God's love. You have to try to go from a sleepy state to more of an awakening. I liken it to smelling salts. One time I saw this football game and the football player, you know, got hit pretty hard and he's pretty much out cold. And they put some smelling salts in front of him and he shook his head and he woke up. In the same way, we kind of need some smelling salts put before us to try to be aware, to try to come to a sense of God's love for us. Because God's love is deep and intense. Did you hear the reading? It said, Paul said, I want you to know the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of God's love. And to know that love. You know, we all know that God loves us, but I want to help you to know in a personal way God's love. Got a letter, a card actually. It's got a little butterfly in the front. Card from a woman. She said, I so enjoy watching your programs. I've learned that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit actually love me. All my years of Catholic school convinced me that the Trinity was out to get me. Thank you for helping me to find God's love. That's exactly what I'm trying to do in this program. Help you to find, to notice, to be attentive to be aware of God's love in so many different ways. And it's not always these dramatic, like I said, these manifestations, baptism in the Holy Spirit. It can be that. Some people get that. Not everybody does. So it's not always so dramatic. Remember the story of Elijah up on the mountain. You know, there was the earthquake and the wind and the fire, but God wasn't in that. Then there was a still small voice, and he heard the voice of God in the tiny whisper. Whenever I teach about prayer, I love to use that example because prayer isn't always this thunderous, manifestation of God. Rather, oftentimes it's quite ordinary, quite simple. So let me just try to talk about a couple different things. I remember one time trying to help you to be aware of God's love. I remember one time I was just at Mass and going to communion, right before I was to receive the body of Christ in communion and receive it on the hands, all of a sudden I became aware of a bracelet that I was wearing. And again, we're talking about awareness. And that's key in the spiritual life, being aware, attentive, noticing things. Because oftentimes, you know, we're just not focused on what is. Well, the bracelet I had was from my girlfriend from a long time ago. And she gave me this silver bracelet. And if you open up the clasp on it, it just simply said, "I love you" in there. And I loved it because it was an indication of her love for me. So I wasn't even wearing the bracelet at the time, but I remembered that I had that bracelet. And as I'm going to communion, just about to receive the body of Christ, all of a sudden that bracelet came into my mind with that phrase, "I love you." And what was that? I believe that that was God speaking to me through the image of the bracelet as I was receiving communion and saying, "Cedric, I love you. I gave myself for you." Wow, that's just one of the multitude of ways that God will speak to us, or God's love will come to us through our memory, through creation, through the Holy Spirit, through all kinds of different ways. I was on a golf course one time, and I love to play golf. And all of a sudden, as I was playing, I became very aware of the water, the ponds, the birds chirping. And it seemed like every blade of grass was talking to me about God's love. Normally, I just go out there and I'm thinking about the score and, you know, how I'm playing and my swing and everything. I came to realize that God gives us nature, God gives us beautiful things to share His love with us. And He wants us to appreciate it. I always tell myself when I'm going to go out golfing, "Oh, I'm going to go out there and just enjoy the day and, you know, listen to the birds and look at the beauty." And oftentimes I just concentrate on the score. And I'm just trying to get the best score I can and swing the best I can. And that's okay. But the bottom line is wherever we go, have an awakening. God has given us this environment as a sign of His love for you and me personally. And then God comes through people, doesn't He? God's love, we all know that. The many people in our life. Never really remember Mom and Dad ever saying that they loved me. I think, you know, when they grew up, they were of the greatest generation. I don't think their parents probably told them that. So they weren't real versed in, you know, this language of "I love you" kind of a thing. But they showed me their love. My dad was always gentle. He was considerate, trustworthy. Mom would always hug me. She would kiss me and take good care of me, especially when I was a young man. So although I didn't really hear the words, I knew their love. I never doubted that. And sometimes it's the same way with God. You may not get the manifestation or the powerful experience, but just look at everything. I mean, He's given you life. He's called you into being. He's there for you. So what you have to do is become like the art appreciation. You have to become a connoisseur. You have to pay attention. You have to really look, if you will, for God's love. Another person that touched me in my life was one of our priests in the Passionist community. His name is Father Blaise. I was going through a difficult time in the seminary and struggling with some of my directors and different things like that. And Father Blaise took me under his wing. And he knew that I had a desire to go out and preach. Well, Father Blaise was a parish missionary. And he took a chance with me. Here I was, just this young seminarian. He took a chance by taking me to the parish missions and teaching me how to proclaim the gospel in these situations. I already had the gift of preaching, but he was my mentor. I remember riding with him in the truck. He had this pickup truck. We called it the gospel truck. And he would take me out, and we would go to these missions. And Father Blaise was very much gentle. He was not controlling, very fun to be with. And I realized that at a needy, vulnerable time in my life, God was using this man to love me. I might have fallen away. I might have given up the priesthood. I might have left religious life had it not been for him. But really, it was God working through him to help me. And if you think about your life, I'm sure that you'll find all kinds of people who have supported you in your life, all kinds of people who have loved you in your life. And really what it is it's God using those people to love you through them. And hopefully God will use you to love people through you. That's what I want to be through these programs. I want you to sense God's love for you personally through this program, Live with Passion. And then I think about some of the experiences that I've had just recently. God will come to you in little things, but you got to look for it. You got to see it. Otherwise, you'll miss it because there's so many different ways. God is tremendously involved and intimate and intricate when it comes to our lives. And oftentimes we miss it. You have to understand, Jesus said, all the hairs on your head are counted by God. In other words, God is extremely involved in your life. And he knows you through and through. As St. Augustine said, he's closer to you than you are to yourself. So in other words, God isn't just out there somewhere, some arbitrary God that's got all the power. He is involved in your life in a powerful, close, intimate way. And you need to be aware of the ways that he's loving you. And just one kind of a crazy example, you know, I like to work out. And I have an elliptical at our monastery. I bought it probably 10 years ago. Well, I went away for a couple months doing some preaching and came back. And when I came back, the elliptical didn't work. Now, I love to work out. I don't really like to work out, but I work out to keep the weight down, stay healthy, to be strong. And God sees my discipline. And God sees the fact that I'm trying to better myself. And God knows what I like to do. Well, the elliptical just didn't work. The brains on it, they call it the console, had gone dead. It was still plugged in, but it didn't work. So I did some phone calling and called, you know, different agencies that work on ellipticals. And I said, you know, can you get me the part to this? Come to find out, this particular elliptical that I had, it was called Iron Man. They have gone out of business. No parts left. No more consoles. No more brains. What am I going to do? I'm either going to have to get a new one or not work out. You know, I have treadmills and other things, but I like the elliptical. It really helps me with the cardio. So I said, I guess I'm going to have to get another one because, you know, there's no more parts, and I was really upset, and I really wanted to work out, and it didn't work without it. So I took the console off, and I unplugged it. I plugged it back in. I said, come on, please work, and had it all plugged in. Nothing happened. I go, okay. Well, I noticed that there were wires running down the center of the elliptical. So as a last ditch effort, I said, that's it. You know, it's all over. I'm just going to cut the cords on this. I just pulled on the cords really hard. All of a sudden I heard beep. And I looked and the console came on. I go, what in the world? All I did was pull on the cord. And, you know, I screwed the thing back on. The elliptical worked perfectly. You know, all of a sudden it worked just like it was brand new. And I worked out, had a good time and everything. Well, that night I'm praying. And I'm thinking to myself, all of a sudden that elliptical came back into my mind. And I thought, you know, was that just a chance happening? Or was that God loving me? And I think if you really look at things in your life, you will see chance happenings that abound. I call coincidences God incidences. God's miracles are oftentimes hidden. In fact, I read a book one time. And it was called coincidences are called God's miracles. And I think it's really true that way. That, you know, you can just see things as something happened or wasn't that nice. Or you can see it as God loving you. And if you evaluate your experience and you take a close look at things, you will see that God is loving you in a deep personal way. Very intricate, very intimate way. So God works through people. Works through the Holy Spirit, works through events, works through creation. There's all kinds of ways. As Paul said, I want you to know the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of God's love. Pope Benedict the 16th was the pope right before Pope Francis, the present pope of the Catholic Church. Pope Benedict, how can I put this? Philosophical, intellectual, very smart man, kind of black and white, very traditional. First encyclical that he ever wrote. Encyclical is a high teaching in the Catholic Church. You know, I would have thought it would have been something very lofty, something very philosophical, something very intellectual, because that's who he is or who he was. He retired, by the way, and Pope Francis took over. First pope ever to retire. He writes an encyclical, and this was the name of it, God is Love. It was based on 1 John 4:16. That's right from the Bible. God is love. And I thought to myself, wow, here's this intellectual, philosophical man, and look what he's writing about. God's love. That's what needs to be proclaimed from the rooftops, that God's love for us is personal and intimate and intricate. So what the Pope did is he tried to break God's love into real terms, because oftentimes, you know, we've all heard God loves us, and it can be arbitrary and kind of out of context, and, you know, we all know God loves us, but what do you mean by that? Well, he broke it into terms. There's some Greek words for God's love, and in his encyclical, God is Love, he brought it out. First word that he talked about was agape. Agape, we've all heard that term. That means the way God loves, unconditional, generous, indiscriminate. Remember what Jesus taught? God's love is like the sun. God makes his sun rise on the just and the unjust. He makes his rain fall on the good and the bad. In other words, God's love is for everybody. He wouldn't have created you had he not loved you. Even if you don't believe in him, even if you're a especially wicked sinner, even if you don't care for God, he still loves you. His love is agape love. It's not conditioned on your goodness or your ability or your faith. It's who God is. God is love. God doesn't just love. He is love. This is who God is. And when I had that experience of the Holy Spirit, wow. And you've read some of my books. Some of you have read my book about my near-death experiences. Wow. Penetrated by God's ever constant agape love. Another word I want you to think about when it comes to God's love is the word sacrificial. In fact, the Last Supper, we call it Mass, Eucharist in the Catholic tradition. Another word for that, the early term for it in the Christian church was an agape feast. Because what Jesus was doing at the Last Supper was giving himself to us in love. He was sacrificing himself, his body and his blood, giving himself totally to us in love. So that, remember when I went to communion, I had that time, I just about to receive communion, I sensed God telling me, Cedric, I love you. So oftentimes we don't appreciate exactly what this is. Mass, Eucharist, the agape feast is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. And what it cost him everything. You who are parents know when you raise children, your love is sacrificial. You're giving your time, your generosity, your money, and you're loving them in that way. And oftentimes they don't appreciate it. But my point is that agape love is sacrificial. I remember when I was studying over in Jerusalem, we went to the upper room. In the upper room, the cenacle, is where purportedly the Last Supper took place. We know from history that it couldn't have been that exact spot, because it was built in the 1400s. But anyway, they have this room, this upper room, the cenacle, and in the upper room they have these capitals, these big tall pillars, and on one of the pillars I saw an interesting thing. I saw a pelican on the pillar. And I thought to myself, why in the upper room in Jerusalem is there a pelican on that pillar? Well, if you know anything about the tradition of the pelican, the mother pelican will actually wound itself and feed its young with her blood in sacrifice so that they can live. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross. God's love is agape love, sacrificial. If you're Catholic, you go to Mass and you receive communion, know that you are being loved sacrificially. God loves you personally, intimately, sacrificially in a multitude of different ways. I pray that this program will help you to become aware of His love, to know His love, and to sense that you are loved in an eternal, passionate way. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.